Way. I just want to share with you, everybody, a thought because it's Rosh Chodesh Shvat today. And it's also Parshas Bo. And I always feel that in Rosh Chodesh Shvat, the Yom Tov of Tu B'Shvat is very often pretty much overlooked. Although, to be perfectly honest, in Halacha, it's not clear why essentially it should be a Yom of Simcha. You know, Tu B'Shvat, we don't say Tachanun, there's no Hespedim, etc., etc. But either way, it certainly is a significant day with regard to the halachas of Maisras, etc., etc. And I had a thought which occurred to me at the beginning of this week, actually on Motzei Shabbos. We had a big dinner in our shul for the Neshe, and I said it there. And that is, it's a short thought, but I think it's an important thought. We know when we learn this week's parasha, whoopsie, when we learn this week's parasha, we find that the first mitzvah, the very first mitzvah that Klal Yisrael are instructed with, is of course Kiddush HaChodesh. HaChodesh Hazeh Lochem, and of course there's so much discussion about this. Why on earth should that be the first mitzvah? It's true, we follow the moon. The goyim follow the sun, etc., with all the deep meaning therein. But what's that got to do with Geulas Mitzrayim? That's really the overlying question. So I must be honest, as I was walking on Motzei Shabbos to this Neshe dinner, I had no idea what I was going to say. And just before I entered the hall, the following thought, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, dropped into my mind. Chazal tell us the following words, and we've mentioned this in the Parasha She'er on more than one occasion. Loi nigalu avoseinu mimitzrayim elo bizchus ha'emuna. That's the Loshon of Chazal. Klal Yisrael's ticket out of Mitzrayim was emuna. Emuna and bitochin. And this is a forerunner forevermore. Klal Yisrael, the first time they ever find themselves nationally in trouble, is of course in Mitzrayim, the first episode of anti-Semitism, etc. And Chazal are teaching us once and forever that our ticket on a national basis, but also on an individual basis, our ticket out of any choshech, out of any nisayon, out of any difficulty in life, is with bitachon. Sometimes people think that bitachon is a useful tool. It's a useful tool that keeps you calm. And if you don't have it, well, then it's a shame because you're not calm. But it's actually much more profound than that. Because without bringing all the sources now, I don't want to go into length, into depth. But it's mevo'eh in Chazal that if a person doesn't have bitachon, then he can't have the Yeshua. We've mentioned this also in the Parasha She'er. So when Chazal say that their ticket out of Mitzrayim was bitachon, meaning, literally, as Chazal said, they would not have been saved without bitachon. So bitachon is not just a case of a useful tool. It's a handy piece of equipment in my toolkit. If I have bitachon, then I'll stay calm. It's much more than that. If I don't have bitachon, then I can't have the Yeshua. If I have bitachon, nothing is guaranteed. But it is guaranteed that you can now have a Yeshua. Bitochen brings Yeshuas. In our Kehillah, in Ramah Gimel, right at the beginning of last year was of course Shemitah. So in the beginning of the year, in the Shabbos Shuvah Drasha, first Shabbos of the year, I said I'd like to make a campaign in our Kehillah. We should have a chizuk in Bitochen. And that's where I started giving shiurim on some of you joined us for that series in the evenings. I learned it with people in the shul. I gave shurim in the kollel. There were a number of people in the kollel who made their own chavrusas and kviyasim. And I heard time after time after time from people how they literally saw changes in their life. Not just the way they felt and attitudes about things, but they literally saw Yeshuas. Last week, or maybe now 2 weeks ago, I get a phone call from an avreich in the neighborhood over here who's nothing to do with our kehillah. He's not a member of our community, doesn't learn in our kollel. And he phoned me up and he said to me, I just want to thank you. I said, what do you want to thank you for? Thank me for? He said, I'll tell you. My chavrusa, he said, came to your drasha and Shabbos Shuvah a year and a half ago when you spoke about bitochen, apparently. And you said that Shemitah is a time to be mischazak in bitochen. We leave the field. We rely on the Rebbeinu Shalom. He said, I wasn't there at that drasha, but my chavrusa was. My chavrusa came to kollel, beginning of that following winter's month. And he said to me, you know, I just heard a drasha about Shemitah and bitochen. Why don't we learn together a couple of minutes every day, Chovas Alvovas, Shar HaBitochen. So he said, that's exactly what we did. Every day, just for a few moments, doesn't take long, just a line or two. We did it very slowly, and he said, that's why we've only just finished it now. It's taken us almost a year and a half. He said, I've been married, he said, for about 8 or 9 years, he says. Baruch Hashem, they have children. But we don't own an apartment. The reason we don't own an apartment is although we did put money aside many years ago for a down payment, for whatever reason, that money got stuck and we have had no access to that money. And therefore, we've not been able to put down a down payment to buy an apartment. So we're just, you know, renting an apartment, throwing out money every month. Try as we might over the course of the years to try and get that money released, no hatzlacha. He said, on the day that I finished learning, on the day that I finished learning Shara B'tochen, the money came through. Rabbi, I heard stories like this, the whole of Shemitah. I said to this Avreich, I said, don't thank me, it's nothing to do with me. That's the Metzius of B'tochen. Ha-Boiteach B'Hashem, how does the Pasuk continue?
Chesed.
It's not a reward, it's a Metzius. When we talk about in davening every day, give the reward for bitochen. It doesn't mean reward as in the prize. Bitochen is not a mitzvah. There's no mitzvah in the Torah. You must be boiteach. The same sochar toiv means we should be the beneficiaries of bitochen. Because if a person has bitochen, he can see Yeshuas. If he doesn't have bitochen, then he cannot see Yeshuas. It's all very easy to have bitochen when things are easy. It's particularly easy to tell other people to have bitochen. I think we all know, maybe sometimes we ourselves are guilty of it. We know those who are struggling with financial issues, health issues, chinuch issues, ruchnis issues, gashmis issues, and we love telling them, well, all you need to do is mischazek in bitochen, and you should be mischazek in bitochen, you should be mischazek in bitochen. So it's very easy to talk about bitochen, and especially about other people's bitochen. But when we have to mischazik in our own bitochen, it's a project. It's a project. But we need to know it is such an incredibly rewarding project. Number one, in the way that we relate to difficulties, we can relate to them with menucha. And number two, we can be zeicher to Yeshuas. But if a person does not have bitochen, then number one, whatever the outcome, he's always nervous. He's always not relaxed. He's always concerned. He's always worried. He's always kashas and HaKadosh Baruch Hu. He's never b'menucha. He doesn't enjoy that serenity, that tranquility that the Chovas Alvavos defines bitochen as. I think bitochen is probably the worst translated word that we know. Bitochen is translated as trust or faith or hope. Or the Chovas Alvavos says it's none of the above. He says mahus ha-bitochen is menuchas ha-nefesh. Menuchas ha-nefesh, tranquility. And that's the schar of bitochen. It's not the reward, it's the benefit of bitochen. And therefore, when Klal Yisrael are now entrenched in Mitzrayim, and HaKadosh Baruch Hu wants to tell them, listen, you're in Mitzrayim, and your ticket out of Mitzrayim is bitochen. Without bitochen, you're not going anywhere. In fact, if you remember the series of events, Moshe Rabbeinu comes to Klal Yisrael and he performs for them the miracles. You remember in Parsha Shemois, he throws a stick and becomes a snake, etc., etc. It says, Vayamein Ha'om, they believed. And after that, he went to Paroi to request that he should release them from Mitzrayim. So I saw in the Sefer, Rabbi Yeruchim, he explains at one moment, why was that the order? Why would you want to go to Klal Yisrael and tell them, listen, I'm going to Paroi now to ask for your release? Why raise their hopes? I would have done the opposite. I would have gone to Paroi, and if Paroi would give us good news, then go and tell Klal Yisrael about it. Says Rabbi Yeruchim, a phenomenal pshat. He says, no, it couldn't work that way. Because if he didn't go to Klal Yisrael first, and Klal Yisrael didn't have that bitochein, then there's no point in going to Paroi because it can never be successful. So he first had to produce the miracles. Vayamein, they had emuna and bitochein. Now I can go to Paroi. Now I can hope to be successful. Nothing is guaranteed, but it's at least a guarantee that it can now work. Whereas had I not gone to Klal Yisrael, and there would not have been bitochen on the part of Klal Yisrael, then Yetzias Mitzrayim would never have happened. And therefore, the thought that HaKadosh Baruch Hu planted in my head on Motzei Shabbos was that picture, that concept of absolute darkness, when something looks bleak, and we don't see the light at the end of the tunnel, but eventually the light does emerge, of course, that can't be demonstrated more clearly than by the moon. Because that's what happens to the moon every month. The beginning of the Chodesh, which is today, you look into the sky, and what do you see? Nothing. Absolute darkness. And you don't see the light at the end of the tunnel, and it looks very bleak. And yet every month, without fail, all of a sudden, on the second or the third of the month, you just see that thin sliver of light, and it grows, and it grows, and it grows, until it reaches the crescendo in the middle of the month, a full moon. That's bitochen. However dark it looks, we have to remember the lesson of Rosh Chodesh, that it always gets light at the end. And even if it's true, after the light is full, it starts waning again, but it will pick up once again the next month. So HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, even before we can even talk about Geulas Mitzrayim, there's nothing to talk about if you don't have bitachin. So learn the lesson of the moon. HaChodesh Hazeh Lochem. Look at the moon, and you yourselves should emulate the moon. That even when things are dark, realize that the light is to come. And although I have not seen this written in any sefer, but I believe it to be emes.
Rabbi,
yes.
It's amazing what you're saying. I needed this so badly this morning, but you know, Rosh Hashanah le'ilanos is in the middle of the winter, and we're celebrating the Ilanos at a time where there's no sign whatsoever that there's going to be Ilanos. Right. It's a total time of bitachon. And if you notice, after Moshe Rabbeinu goes to Paro, it's the next 6 months are the worst 6 months in all of Mitzrayim. And the hardest part about what you're saying is that I'm a person that tries very hard to focus on bitachon. It's my major avodah in life. But the avodah is the suffix comes so much harder all the time that it literally comes into your brain and is mamish mababble into your brain. And it's kavei al Hashem. As soon as you step forward and say, I trust in Hashem, and then all of a sudden it's chazach yamatzi becha. Now you better strengthen your heart. It's amazing. But it's very difficult. That's the whole problem, is when you are working on bitachon, then all of a sudden the suffix is that much stronger.
It's not an easy avoda. And the biggest proof that it's not an easy avoda is that it requires an entire bracha in Shemona Esra. That's the whole bracha of Alat Tzadikim. And in fact, that's exactly what I was about to add and finish with. That's the lesson of Tu B'Shvat. Tu B'Shvat, when you plant that seed in the ground, what do you see in the beginning? Nothing. In fact, not only do you see nothing, the first thing that happens to the seed is that it rots. And it disintegrates. That's the first thing. But it begins to bud. And has a tzmicha, has a growth, and that's bitochen. In fact, it's well known, Chazal tell us, that we have six chalokim to the Mishnayos, Shishei Sidra Mishnah. There is a pasuk that the Gemara quotes, V'hoya emunas itecha chosen yeshuos, etc., etc. The first word in that pasuk is emuna. And Chazal say, emuna corresponds to which seder? Zroim. Some people think that Reb Chaim Kanievsky wrote his sefer Derech Emuna. They think it's a Musa sefer. Truth is, it is a Musa sefer, but essentially, it's all about Hilchas Zroim. Reb Chaim Kanievsky's commentary to the Rambam in Hilchas Zroim is called Derech Emuna. Why Emuna? Because the Gemara says that Emuna corresponds to Zroim. Why does Emuna correspond to Zroim? The answer is as we just stated. Because when you plant something, if you don't have emuna, then the only thing you see in front of you is a seed that disappears, and not only disappears, it all rots. But I have emuna, that it will bud, and it will produce a tree, and eventually it will produce fruit, and those fruit will have the koyach to plant more seeds, lanetzach netzachim. And therefore that's the thought that I'm having today on Rosh Chodesh Shvat. Rosh Chodesh Shvat always falls out on Parashas Boy, and obviously that's not for nothing. Parashas Boy is the greatest lesson for us in Bitochin. Loi nigalu avoseinu memitzrayim elo bizuchus emuna and Bitochin. And that's why the first mitzvah that they have to have is Kiddush HaChodesh. Look at the moon and study it. And then more importantly, emulate it. And even when things look dark, and even when things look bleak, but with the koyach of bitochin, we, number one, can have that menuchas hanefesh, and number two, we can be zeicher to Yeshuas. I think I'm probably allowed to repeat one of my rebbeim, Rav Tzvi Davidovich, Rav Eliyahu David, your upstairs neighbor, but also one of my rebbeim. I think it's not a secret. Baruch Hashem, he has a large family, I think 14 or 15 children. And he told me, if I'm not mistaken, almost all of them are married. If I'm not mistaken, he has one daughter at home who's not yet married. Rav Davidovich is not a millionaire. He's not a millionaire. And he's not earning millions. But he's a Rav who's dedicated to paskening shailas and checking the mikvois and erevin. And he once told me in a quiet moment, I think at the time he had 10 children married. And he said, out of my 10 children who are married, Baruch Hashem, 9 of them own apartments. One doesn't yet, but 9 out of 10 of them own apartments. He said, do you know how I was able to buy them apartments? I said, no. He said, with bitochen. That's what he told me. He said, without bitochen, there's no way I could have married off my children and ensured they all have apartments. 9 out of 10 children, b'li'ai nara, have apartments. That was a few years ago when he told me. I don't know what the updated statistics are. It doesn't make a difference. So how is it that somebody who, as far as I know, maybe I'm making a mistake, is not a multimillionaire, but to buy 9 apartments, you need to raise millions, wherever they are in Eretz Yisrael. So he told me, with bitochen. Person who has bitochen, he can have yeshuas. Person who doesn't have bitochen cannot have yeshuas. So the Chedus Avavus, Shara Bitochin, should be on the desktop of everybody, like it is on mine, this Sefer. I'm sure many of you have got this, the English version. This is the one that you use, Larry, the English version or the Hebrew version? The Hebrew version.
No, I use the English version, but it's not that one. It's a blue book. It's a blue book.
Okay. Whatever.
It's the Lev Tov.
Your Lev Tov, right. That's my cousin. That's this one. That's also on my desk, the Lev Tov.
That's the one.
It should be on everybody's desk, but more importantly, it should be opened as well. And that's the sefer that we live by, and that's the sefer that's got Klal Yisrael through thick and thin in all ages. Every person finds himself in his own personal golos. Golos aguf, or golos anefesh. And we all need a Yeshua. There's not one person that I know who doesn't need a Yeshua. We all need a Yeshua in some area of our Gashmi life or our Ruchni life. And we have to believe Shalom, that the only way that Yeshua can come is through the Koyach of Bitochin. So tonight, as we look at the sky, and we will study it, and we'll notice that there's really nothing to see, because there's no moon that will be visible tonight. We have to understand that actually there's everything to see. Because it's precisely because there's no moon, but we believe that tomorrow there will be, that's the secret of a Yid. That's the secret of a Yid. That even when things are dark, things look bleak, but a chodesh hazeh lochem. And that's the koyach of Tu Bishvat.
Do you think the word golus comes from legalot at the hester? That our job is,
100%. Golus is to be megale. That's why it's so similar to the word geula.
By the way, you know, I notice, I'm telling you, I work on this, my major avodah. Life does not change for the worse that much. Okay, every once in a while we have these major problems in life, but the metzias doesn't change. It's our minds that changes. All of a sudden, something that yesterday seemed like it was going to be great, all of a sudden today you have tremendous suffix. So the reality is that the life itself doesn't change. It's how the Yetzirah comes into your head. And then Reb Pinchas says, to walk around saying, I'm never afraid of anything because I have emuna, you're a shota. The Brisker Rav says that emuna starts with fear. You have to have a little bit of fear to say, wow, now I'm really feeling uncomfortable. Now I have to ask Hashem to help me and I have to work on my pitachon. Pitachon starts in a place of darkness. These people that walk around and say, ah, Hashem Yazara, they're shaitim. They're not really in life.
I remember when I moved over here to Gimel, and I sat with Rav Kornfeld for many, many, many hours. And I asked him, isn't the life of a Rav a very challenging life? And there's a lot of agmas nefesh, right? People get upset with a Rav. People get breakers. People have tainas. Isn't it a lot of agmas nefesh? And he told me the following line. Obviously, he's coining a phrase over here. He said, agmas nefesh is in the eyes of the beholder. How much agmas nefesh will you feel? As much as you want to feel. It was actually Rav Kornfeld's advice. When I became a Rav of Derech Yitzchak, he said, if I were you, I would make a chavrusa and learn chavrus avav v'shar ha'bitachon. It was exactly at that stage. He said, that's what he did as well. So some of you may know, obviously, Rav Doron Beckerman, we sat for a couple of years. We went through the whole of shar ha'bitachon twice. Subsequently been through many other times, but shortly afterwards, Art Scroll ran a project on Shara Bitochen, and one of the chief writers was Doron Beckham. Al Koponim, this is our secret. Agmas Nefesh is in the eyes of the beholder. It's in our hands. How much Agmas Nefesh we will have. How much difficulty we will have, that's HaKadosh Baruch Hu's decision. But how much Agmas Nefesh we will have, and how much Menuchas HaNefesh, which is the opposite of Agmas Nefesh, that's our Avodah. Not a Kodesh Baruch Hu's Avoida, a Koil Bidei Shomayim, Chutz Meyir Shomayim, person who studies Shara Bitochin will have Menuchas HaNefesh. Will he have an easy life? Absolutely no guarantees. But will he have a life with Menucha? That can happen. Can he be Zoicha to Yeshuais? Yes. There's a very, very big difference between having a life of difficulties and having a life of Menucha. If somebody treads on your toe, that's difficult. That hurts. You can be the biggest Baal Bitochen in the world, it hurts. The question is not whether it hurts. The question is how do you react to it? Does that set you off? Do you have big kashas on HaKadosh Baruch Hu now? Chutzpah, can't believe somebody stepped on my toe. I've got to get him back. Why would he do such a thing? That's it. I'm not davening today. That's Agmas Nefesh. Menuchas HaNefesh doesn't take away from the pain. Somebody stepped on my toe, it hurts. But my reaction is different. My outlook is different. My attitude is different. I'm able to retain my tranquility, one's serenity, and that's what Bitochen is about. That's what Kiddush HaChodesh is about, and that's what Chodesh Shvat is all about.
That's good.
I'm just thinking now, actually. The mazel of Chodesh Shvat. Anybody know what the mazel of Chodesh Shvat is? Every month has a sign. Anybody know what Shvat is? Chodesh Shvat, the mazel is a dli, a bucket. A bucket, by definition, you lower down into the well, it plummets the depths, and then it comes up with water. That's also all about bitachon. You see that bucket for all the world, it looks like it's disappearing, out of sight. But eventually it comes up with water, it produces the goods. That's bitachon. Okay, Rabbi, so that was just a short thought for the day. Let's get back to our sugya on the Ches Amud Beis. We saw yesterday, 9 minutes left. We saw yesterday Abaye's Teretz. Abaye explained that the machlokes between Rav Meir and the Chachamim in the Mishnah, do you need 3 dayonim? Do you need 23 dayonim? Is talking about where, a very specific scenario, where the Eidim were brought to Bezdin, but it turns out they gave a vague hasra instead of a detailed hasra, meaning they said that they warned the woman if she commits zinus, she will be chayev misa, but they never told her which particular misa it will be. And the question now becomes, is she chayev misa? So it's a machlokes tanoim in daf pei, Rabbi Yehuda and the Tanakama and Abaye suggesting that in fact that is the identical machlokes over here as well. So according to Rameya, it will never end up in Dinei Nefoshes. Why not? Because we don't have to be concerned that there's more Edim, because here are the Edim. But it also cannot be a Dinei Nefoshes, because by their own admission, they did not give the type of Hasra that could bring about Misa. Whereas the Chachamim say, no, it can. Why can it? Because as long as you said you'll be Chayev Misa, as long as you didn't say which Misa, then you will be Chayev Misa. By the way, just a question for everybody to think about. Everybody remembers the parasha, for example, of the Mekoshesh Eitzim? The Mekoshesh Eitzim was Mechal Shabbos. He wanted to show everybody what happens. He was Mechal Shabbos. They locked him up. Moshe Rabbeinu wasn't sure which punishment you give him. He asked HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So HaKadosh Baruch Hu told him, which one is it? Skila. So Rabbi Yisai, $64 billion question. If Moshe Rabbeinu himself did not know which punishment the Mekoshesh was going to get, well, obviously, the Edim also didn't know. So what type of Hasra did they give to the Mekoshesh? They could not possibly have told him, do not be Mechal Shabbos, because otherwise you'll get Skila, because they themselves didn't know there's going to be Skila. So at best, all they could have told him was, don't be Mechal Shabbos, or else you're going to be Mechayev Misa. And what happened to him? He was killed. So don't we have a Mefurash Pasuk in the Torah that Hasra, you don't have to say which Misa it is. It suffices just to say this Chayev Misa, because we can be rest assured, guaranteed, and in the case of Mekoshesh, they could not possibly have told him which Misa it would be, because nobody knew, even Moshe Rabbeinu didn't know. It's a huge, huge question. Okay, let's move on. There are Tirutzim, but not for now. We have one or two more Rashis to see. Have a look at Rashi. V'shar kol chayve misas. All other chayve misas, meaning all other ones, besides for what? Gaba mesis koi. This is referring to mesis. Mesis, as mentioned yesterday, is somebody who causes other to do averas, and he is a unique situation. He does not need hasra. So gaba mesis koi derachmona omar loy sachmoy veloy sechase venerag beli hasra. And he is actually the rare case, the exception to the rule. He is actually killed without hasra alidei hachmonas edim. Just the fact that Edom testified against him, even though there was no Hasra. But all other Chayve Mises do need Hasra. They need an Edom. What does Edom mean, says Rashi Chof Gimel? V'ad sheyodi'uhu Edom b'shas Hasra shu Chayve Mises b'bezdin. They also have to warn him b'shas Hasra that he's going to be Chayve Mises in Bezdin im yavoir averazu. In the event that he commits this avera umil. However, according to the first opinion, afal gav deloy mazkirelei Eizei Misa, even though they don't actually mention to him which particular Misa it will be. Nonetheless, Hasrohi. Nonetheless, that's considered a perfectly valid Hasra, according to the first opinion at least. Umachayvi, and they will be Machayev Misa Kerabonon in accordance with the Shita Rabbonon, not, however, the opinion of Rabbi Yehuda. So we have a Machlokes. Okay, now we have, let's carry on the Gemara. Rav Papa Oma. We're on the fifth bottom line. At least let's make a start. Now this is a fourth approach. How many approaches have we had so far to explain the Machlokes Rameh and the Chachamim? We've had three. Machlokes number one, approach number one was the Machlokes about La'az. Approach number two was about Kavod Rishonim. Approach number three was, and no, they all agree that there's such a concept called La'az and Kavod Rishonim. Here we're talking about they gave Hasra without mentioning what Misa. Now says the Gemara, a fourth approach. Rav Papa Oma, Hocha, Be'isha, Chaveira Askinon. Do you know what type of woman we're talking about? This woman is being accused of Znur, she's a Chaveira. What does it mean, a Chaveira? So we're normally used to a concept of a Chover. Somebody is called a Chover, not as we normally translate it as a friend. A Chover is a Talmud Chacham. Does a Talmud Chacham, a Chover, and in turn a Chaveira, meaning a knowledgeable woman, does a person like that, Bichlal, need Hasra? Why does anybody need Hasra? If he commits an Aveira, he should be killed, period. So we're about to see that there is an opinion that suggests, because if you don't give Hasra, well, maybe they didn't know the Halacha. You certainly can't put somebody to death on the assumption that he knew what would happen to him, or that he knew it was an Aveira in the first place. You can't just assume that. You've got to be guaranteed. But in the case of a Chaver, if he's a Talmud Chacham or an Ishas Chaveira, a knowledgeable woman, well, there it is guaranteed, because we know with absolute certainty that they knew this Aveira was awesome. They knew of the consequences.
Doesn't the Gemara say that a person would never do make an Aveira Ella if he went a little crazy?
The Gemara in Seita says end of base, correct.
So it's nothing to do with knowledge. At the time of Aveira, you're not thinking straight.
That's a kasha. Then the Hasra is not going to help.
Oh, that's maybe Hasra would help. In other words, Hasra wakes them. No?
That's a different discussion. We've only got 1 minute and 56 seconds left, so we can't discuss that. But maybe remind me tomorrow. It's a kasha from Chaim Shmuel Evitz. Either way, have a look at the Gemara. Rav Papa Mahocha Beisha Chaveira Askinon. Here we're talking about a very knowledgeable woman. The Komiflegi, and they are having a machlekes. Who's they? Back in the Mishnah. Remeh and the Chachamim, the Plukta, this is the same Machlokes, the Rabbi Yosi bar Yehuda v'Rabbanon. There is a Machlokes between Rabbi Yosi and Rabbi Yehuda and Rabbanon, whether a Chover Bichlal needs Hasra or not, and in turn, whether an Ishas Chavera needs Hasra or not, and this, Be'ezus Hashem, we will see tomorrow, all being well. In the meanwhile, everyone have a wonderful day and a good Chodesh Mitzvah.
Koach Chodesh.